This is a Dreamcast disc and is for use only on a Dreamcast unit. Playing this disc on a hi-fi or other audio equipment can cause serious damage to its speakers.
Dreamcast, up to 6 billion players.
Welcome back to the stage of history.
Why don't we play together?
Hey, it's time to make some crazy money. Are you ready? Here we go!
Please stop this disc now.
Hello and welcome to episode 60 of the Dreamcast Junkyard Dream Pod, I think it's called. I'll start that again. Wait a minute.
You should keep that. That's a good intro.
Actually, I think I will now. Yeah, this is episode 60 of the Dreamcast Junkyard Dream Pod. The voice you just heard there is one of our very special guests. Not just one guest today. We've got two for the price of one, or two for the price of nothing, because I'm not paying them.
I gotta fire my agent, dude.
As I said, my name is Tom. I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr. Mike Phelan. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Tom.
How's it going? All right.
Not too bad. Very hot, though.
Yes, I'm melting in the heat. I've got the window closed because the guy over the road is banging something with his hammer and it's doing my head in. So I've got to keep the window closed. We're also joined by Kev Mason. Hi, Kev.
Hello. It's nice not to have been voted off by the public yet. So.
Well, there's still time. The public vote's not closed yet. So.
There's always hope for failure.
Yeah.
And the two voices that you've also heard with an American twang. The first one is, he needs no introduction. His name is Adam Korolik. Welcome, Adam.
Yo, what's up? Welcome. I'm glad to be back.
No, it's very, very cool to have you on the show again. The first time you were on the show, actually looked at this earlier on, would have been in May 2015. That's nearly 3 years ago, well, over 3 years ago.
Yeah. I remember we did one with Corey Marshall, and I swear we did another one before that. It was like, what, like a third episode or something like that? Yeah, it was really early on.
Yeah, it was like episode 4 or something. That was in May, and then we did the one with Corey Marshall in September of 2015. So, yeah, it's been a while. And our other guest, another YouTube superstar, YouTube royalty in the gaming world, his name is Max Shockley, but you probably know him better as Dreamcast Guy. Welcome, Max.
Hello. Happy to be back and getting to chat with all you awesome folks.
Thank you very much. Again, you were on the podcast previously. I couldn't remember when it was, but I had a look back through the podcast list, and it was August 2016. It doesn't seem that long ago, but it was
holy crap,
maybe 2 years ago, which is insane. And back then, you were, I think, you'd just hit 40,000 subs on your YouTube channel, and you're now, you're at over 100,000 now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm at like 102,000.
Yeah,
103.
Yeah, congratulations, man! You blew up.
Yeah,
totally. Man. Thank you.
I mean, you're both at, you know, roughly the same level, 100,000 subscribers. So that's pretty impressive. I mean, wow, the amount of exposure that you two have got just through, you know, making videos and talking about games and stuff online is pretty impressive. You know, so hats off to you both.
Thank you.
No problem. This is episode 60 of the Dreamcast Junkyard Dream Pod. Obviously, we've got two people from the world of YouTube with us today. Obviously, not exclusively going to be about YouTube, but we will be talking a little bit about that website in the in the episode. But first of all, as we always do, we're going to talk a little bit about some things that we might have played in the recent past, some things that we've picked up. I will say now that I pretty much know everything that you, Max, have played, because I've been watching your YouTube videos. Obviously, I'm subscribed, so I see what you've been playing. But maybe people who haven't could be enlightened by you. And then we'll talk a little bit about the recent E3 and some of the things that that Adam saw there. We all saw, kind of watching from afar. And, you know, weirdly, a little bit of Dreamcast stuff as well. So we'll finish that off maybe with some questions. What on earth is that?
I have to apologise. If you've seen the clip of the newsreader being interrupted by his kid, that has literally just happened in my loft with my missus just dragging my little girl out crying.
That's brilliant. I lost my train of thought now. Yeah, we'll close up with some questions from our Facebook group. So, let's start as we always do. We've got two guests, so I'm going to come to you guys first. I'm going to come to you, Adam, first. Is there anything you've played recently or picked up that you'd like to talk about?
Just Dreamcast specific or just generic?
Anything, either or, really.
Well, literally before we got on the phone call, I've been playing the Vietnam expansion for Far Cry 5. And yesterday I was playing, I know you did a video on it, Max, it's the Switch version of Wolfenstein 2. Yeah. I mean, I liked the Xbox One version better, but it was still a competent port, but it seemed like heavily downscaled. I've been playing that a little bit, Far Cry 5, like the entire game. That's mostly what I've been playing, like, recreationally lately. Oh, and I just replayed the Bioshock, like, trilogy remastered.
I mean, you do have pretty much every Dreamcast game, so I'm guessing that asking if you've picked anything up for the Dreamcast is quite kind of pushing it a little.
Well, you're... Okay, so I haven't got any new games for it, because the only new games for it are, like, the indie ones. I have all the others, but... Yeah. I was in Japan a couple of months ago, and I picked up a whole bunch of stuff for the Dreamcast I have not shown yet.
Okay.
So that will be in an upcoming video sometime this month. I did well. I'm just going to say I did well. I got something pretty fucking neat. yes. So I hope swearing is not against the rules here.
No, not at all. No,
I forgot that rule. I forgot if that was a thing.
No, not at all. I will put a parental advisory note on this podcast. So if you've got kids, I do apologize listening, that is. Excellent.
That's
okay.
Why the kid was crying. Couldn't take it.
Exactly. Can't take the heat.
Preemptive.
Brilliant. Thanks, Adam, for that. Max, what about yourself?
I've been playing lots of games for the channel, but just for fun, they just started selling the NES Classic Editions again. Mm. And the first, I got one from Nintendo when they first came out, and I ended up giving it to my friend's son because they couldn't find one. So I finally got to buy one again, and so I've been playing through Final Fantasy I for like the 50th time, and I'm still just so impressed by it. I know that that game's like older than I am, but it's so freaking fun. So I've been hooked on that super bad, and the original Castlevania, lots of stuff like that when I'm not playing. I'm still hooked on Fortnite, of course, especially now Fortnite on Switch, so I'm playing lots of Fortnite as I always do.
I was going to ask actually if anyone here is playing Fortnite. I know you've been playing it. Have you, Kev?
I have, yeah. I've completely moved away from the Xbox One. With being a teacher, this is like my worst time of the year for gaming, because it's normally when all my kids who've not done their work ruin my life. So gaming just kind of disappears. But yeah, just I know it's on mobile, but getting to play the Switch, for those the guys won't know this, but I only ever play mine in handheld mode. I think I've had it in the console dock maybe twice. So, you know, just like... a game like Fortnite, being able to get that out, have one round before bed or one round in the morning is pretty much perfect for me. So,
yeah, I've not actually dove into Fortnite yet. I keep seeing it on the eShop thinking, shall I get it? But something just keeps making me stop and like not get involved, because I know that I'll just go down the rabbit hole and I'll have to completely... Yeah.
Are you worried about pissing yourself while playing it like that? A little girl that was in the news.
No, I didn't see that. I saw a guy shitting into a traffic cone.
I don't know whether that's related to Fortnite or not, but there was a story about a girl who she was like so into the round that she just didn't go toilet until she went toilet in her chair, because she just wouldn't leave. I'm not leaving the game, Mum. So right. I do understand that, because anytime I play online, I always say to my missus, I can't pause real people. So
Anyway, shut up, Kev. Max, let's go back to
sorry.
you. Yeah, so anything else you've been playing or picked up?
Lots of different stuff. I've recently started collecting Dreamcast demo discs. I'm trying to get all the Dreamcast demo discs.
Okay.
And I happen to live next to the like one of the most famous game stores in Texas. It's called Game Over Video Games. And I happen to live like a couple miles from it, and I never realized it. So I go over there all the time now, and they just had a huge bucket of demo discs. So the other day I went through and bought every Dreamcast one they had for about $2 a piece. So I'm trying to get all those. As the last thing I really want for my Dreamcast collection is all the Dreamcast magazines, and I want all the Dreamcast demo discs.
Do you? Are you
only just the American ones?
Yeah, I'm just, because there's only like 16 issues or 15 issues of the American magazines. So I'm just trying to get those.
Yeah, I was going to ask the
same
question.
Ask me later. I'll give you an exact count. I've got them all. I just have to go double check how many there are.
I do have a lot of the copies of the Dream On, you know, the European ones. So into collecting those, then I don't mind giving you those as well. But
if you have any duplicates or something, I'll buy them or trade them off you for sure, man. Heck yeah, that'd be awesome.
You can have them. You know, I'm not bothered about trading them or selling them or anything like that. Yeah, I've got duplicates of plenty of them. So we'll talk after the episode.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks, man.
No problem.
I got two spare whole lots as well, so I'll give any gaps you got, Tom.
Oh, excellent. There you go. See, look, you've come on the Dream Pod and you're walking away with a complete collection of Dream On demos.
and you said I wasn't getting paid. What are you talking about? Look at this.
Hey, cool. Dreamcast disc.
Yeah. Excellent. Just on the point of your Wolfenstein 2 video, Max. I did watch that myself earlier, and it was quite interesting that you mentioned how the resolution on the Switch kind of goes down as more characters come up on the screen. That didn't really happen that much with Doom on the Switch. I love Doom on the Switch. I think it's great. Is it really apparent? Because I'm thinking about getting it myself.
It's very apparent in certain areas. The trick, they programmed Doom specifically, it seems like, to make it where certain bigger objects would be low resolution. So you'd literally walk into a room and there'd be a forklift that looked like it was made out of marshmallows.
Because
they were trying to render like the monsters looking correct. Whereas this, it just downgrades the general resolution. So like you saw one of the main clips I put in there where it probably went down the worst is there's a big shootout when you're in a Nazi courtroom.
Yeah.
And at that point, it gets down to probably 360 resolution. Like, you cannot tell what's going on. It gets so bad a couple times. So, overall, I think it runs fantastic, actually. I'm kind of impressed that it runs so smoothly. There's not really any frame rate issues for me. It's just that, man, when a room gets crowded, which thankfully doesn't happen too much, the game definitely kind of freaks out.
I definitely
noticed that playing it. I was just saying I agree with him. It runs very smooth, but it does not look very good. The resolution of that particular port is just, it's not there. But I guess that was the sacrifice they had to make to get it to run.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a technical feat in itself, getting a game like that on the Switch. But Max, I believe your actual quote was that you weren't sure if you were shooting at a desk or a Nazi in that scene.
Yep.
So
exactly, yeah.
That stuck with me, that one. Cool. Mike, have you played anything?
I have. So I'm glad I'm on the podcast because I have to tell everyone that I can see, including people on the street, and I am being literal about this game. I'm playing a game called Onrush from Codemasters. It sort of slipped under the radar of a lot of people. It's not a racing game. Most important thing, it's not a racing game. It's in cars, but it's basically from the same guys who did MotorStorm, and it's you sort of drive within a stampede of cars. And it sort of mixes sort of roller derby with Burnout. It's probably the best way I can describe it. With Overwatch sort of style. And it is the best game I've played probably in a good 3-4 years. It's an amazing game. Stunning visuals and just plays so much fun. It's fantastic.
That's quite the accolade. Best game
I did tweet the developers. Developers have tweeted me back. I don't think many people are actually playing the game, which is a real shame because it's fantastic.
I saw something because they were doing an open beta for like 3 weeks, basically anybody who wanted to try it. And I think that they were worried. I think nobody even tried the free version of it. Like I was reading something where the developers were like, wow, we made this amazing game. It'd be great if somebody would install it, please.
Yeah, exactly. It's because it's so weird as well. It's like because you go into it thinking, oh, it's Codemasters game, that it's going to be a racing game. Then you look at obviously MotorStorm pedigree, so you're thinking, right, it's going to be an off-road sort of racer, and it's just not. It's more like a first-person shooter with sort of Burnout style than it is a racing game. It's one of the freshest experiences in gaming for years, and it's criminally overlooked.
Oh, cool. Anything on the Dreamcast or any?
Of course I have, Tom.
Stupid question,
yeah. I bought loads of stuff. There was a Bristol Gaming Market, first retro gaming market down in Bristol last week, and I picked up a load of crap for the Dreamcast, a karaoke machine, a couple of limited editions I need. I've only got 19 games left to get the full set now.
Is that for for everything, NTSC and PAL?
Yeah, one version of every game.
Right.
Wow. So I've got about 19 left. I've a random Capcom versus SNK towel, which is fantastic. a random Sengoku Turb, which is a random, quite odd Japanese Dreamcast game.
Yeah.
Soft toy to go with that. Yeah, I got both games, but I got it's a soft toy to go with it, nice. Which is, you know, as you do. And I also got a 4x memory card from Dreamcast Gaga in a post, because I had one before. So,
is that one with the lights on it?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's the one. It's the one that's it's an official one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's got little lights on it. It's four lights. Is it? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't do hardware, Tom. I just sort of do games. I don't... Okay. I'm sure we'll have it. And I've also got, just the one last thing, I've got my first lot of Portuguese games have come in. So in Portugal, when the Dreamcast was out, Ecofilms, which was the distributor down in Portugal,
yeah,
did some packages, controller packages, and I picked up a couple of them. So I've got Virtua Tennis, and I got Crazy Taxi, I think, as well.
Oh, wow. I knew about the Virtua Tennis one. I didn't know about the Crazy Taxi one. So is it a controller and the game in one box?
Yeah, there's about five or six. There's a couple of double ones as well. Virtua Athlete goes or something. And there's a light gun one as well. So I'm getting into the slightly random regional variations now.
Yeah, wow.
Cool. That's dedication, man. I respect the hell out of that.
Yeah. Holy crap.
I think I've just tipped over 1,100 games now for Dreamcast. So
I'd like to point out, whilst you were saying that, Mike, I was shaking my head pretty much the whole time. Portuguese variants, what's wrong with him?
Why not? Why not is what I say, Kev. Why not?
Indeed. Kev, what about yourself? You've mentioned Fortnite already. Anything else?
I'd like to take this opportunity to shout out James, the Dreamcast Junkyard YouTube guy, because he finally got my DreamPi to work online through what I could call some kind of late 90s IT support of him having to send me a screenshot by screenshot so I could copy the settings in that I needed. I've literally only played one game online, and it was the 4x4, is it?
Evolution.
Yeah. Which yeah. It didn't get a PAL release, but do you know, like playing it and it being like quite a kind of free form, pretty much go anywhere as long as you go through the checkpoint. I was quite impressed by that I'd never seen it.
Yeah.
So that's just, yeah, a little thanks to him. Hoping
just,
to get
just on that topic, more, just on that topic, sorry Kev. Adam and Matt, do either of you play on the DreamPi, or have you had any experience with it?
No, I haven't really used it.
Okay.
Well, I did the other thing where you hack into. I've done the Stack server thing where you go to the private server for Phantasy Star Online. I've done that.
Okay, yeah. Okay, no worries. Sorry, Kev. Sorry to cut you off there. Carry on.
No, that's fine. And then, like I said, I've been pretty busy, but finally got into Mario Tennis Aces, or whatever it's called, in the last day or half. I got that when it came out, and really enjoyed the demo. And now that I've played the main game sort of two weeks into it, I've won maybe two games and lost about 15. So everyone just seems to have evolved way beyond my level and my ability already.
I have a similar experience with that game. On the weekend that it was a demo, that they had the free tournament mode, I think I won one game. And every other game I played, the people were just so far ahead of me in terms of stats. I was just like, how is this possible? The game has only just come out, and yet people have got 15,000 points or 20,000 points, on their little profile. I was just like, this is ridiculous. So, I've been on the fence about getting that because I'd heard that the single player mode was a bit weak. But what's it like? Is it any good?
Some people would describe it as tongue in cheek. It feels to me a bit like a GCSE project someone's handed in, because everywhere you go, I don't know if any of the other guys have played it. Obviously, it's tennis-based, the story is, but everywhere you turn up, the guy's like, I'm not going to let you use this boat unless you beat me at tennis. I'm not going to give you this racket unless you beat me at tennis. It's like, look, just if it was just letting me go game after game, I think I'd be happier. Yeah. I mean, that might be like an old grumpy, curmudgeon-y guy thing, but it's like, you don't need to try and chewhorn a story in. Just let me play tennis.
By the way, have you
it kind of reminds you of like the Dead or Alive like storylines where you just kind of two people just meet and they just have to fight each other for no reason?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Have you tried what is it called? A golf story? Golf Story does that, but really well, and that's kind of why it makes me laugh. It's like my favorite indie Switch game, but there's so many times where it's like every problem happens to be solved by golf, where it's like, oh no, my child is being captured by that alligator in the middle of the lake. If only somebody could perfectly drive this ball and hit it in the head. And then it just goes, I love that.
Yeah, the bird eggs. The guys have been mistakenly selling them as golf balls, so you have to hit them back into the nest.
Yeah, every problem is golf related. I love that.
Yeah, so I think that's got like a kind of brilliant charm to it, whereas with this, it's a bit kind of, oh, we forgot to write a story. Get the work experience guy to do it before he goes home today.
Cool. Anything on the Dreamcast, Kev?
I finally, I a few people who follow me on Twitter will have seen this. I got the arcade stick within the last maybe 6 weeks. So I've just been kind of working through some of the games that I've got that mention. Well, I've played through some of the ones who mention arcade stick on the back, and then I've tried a few other ones. Probably because they're Midway, it works fine with NFL Blitz and whatever the Dreamcast is. It NBA Showtime on NBC, whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah,
it's
got yeah.
But like, considering that they were both arcade games that originally used arcade controls, they don't have it on the box, but then they don't have VGA support, and they have worse. Well, Blitz doesn't even have a spine printing, does it?
No,
just like they forgot to do it.
Yeah.
There is an American re-release of Blitz that does support VGA.
Oh, does that? I remember seeing that there was in Mike's Guide. There we go. There's a seamless
hot,
yeah. plug.
Hot new.
I think the same was true of Showtime, although that one might be like one of the ones that has to be force booted. I don't remember exactly.
But yeah, I've already. I used to hate the VGA snobs on the Facebook group, and I've already become one of them, even though I have the box that's got the composite switch on, and I've got the composite wired in because it's different cabling. If I put it on and it's like, this game does not support, I'm just like, oh, what an effort. I've got to walk 4 yards and flick a switch and restart the Dreamcast. So I just play something else, even though that still involves going to the console.
Oh, Kev, on the topic of the arcade stick, another one that does have arcade stick compatibility that isn't advertised is Railroad Tycoon 2.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I found that out just by randomly sticking an arcade stick in and trying it, and it worked. Yeah. So, yeah, excellent, cool. Okay, not much from me on the Dreamcast or on any of the consoles, to be honest. I've only been playing the FIFA World Cup update on my PS4, and also watching the World Cup in VR using the app on the PlayStation. Yes. It's pretty good, actually. And on the Switch, I've been playing Gunbird 2, which came out last week, and I bought it the day it came out, but has since disappeared from the eShop. And I don't know why, but that's a bit odd, because somebody tweeted at me yesterday saying, oh, you keep tweeting about Gunbird 2 on the Switch, but I can't find it. Like, just type Gunbird 2 into the eShop and it'll come up, and he sent me a screenshot back saying could not find. So then I went and had a look, and lo and behold, it's been removed. So
That's straight. It was up Wednesday, because that was when I first realised it was out.
Yeah. And now it's gone. So a bit strange, but who knows? Anyway, that does it for what we've played and what we've picked up, which is a good mix. Let's talk a little bit about E3, that small event that happened recently in the recent past.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The time here.
just a general discussion about anything that we saw that we quite like the look of. I know, Adam, you were at the event. Max, were you at the event?
I was not.
No, I just covered it from home. I was actually at a different convention, so I kept having to Uber back to my office, cover one of the conferences, and then go back to the convention.
That's dedication. Adam, I saw your videos, your various videos about being at the event. I know you met some other YouTubers. I know you met, was it Kelsey?
Yeah, Kelsey Lewin's a friend of mine. Yeah. Metal Jesus Rocks is a friend of mine. We were hanging out there for a while.
Cool.
I saw Angry Joe a few times, but like, he and I don't know each other. We've encountered each other, but he's easy to spot because he dresses like he always does in his videos everywhere. Yeah. Superman shirt and that leather jacket with the white stripe. You can't miss him. I'm sure that's the whole point.
I wonder if he's got just one or he's got like multiple. Like
he has a closet full. He's told me. And I met him at PAX South this year, and he was hungover. Clearly had not slept in 3 days. He told me he hadn't slept in 3 days, but he was still dressed as Angry Joe and even had his hair gelled. And he's like, I was like, oh, hey, Angry Joe. And he's like, hey, man, you want to take a selfie or something? I got to go pay for this hotel bill. He's like, oh, yeah, of course.
the real side of YouTubing. I quite like the other guy who he does his videos with as well. He's called Joe as well, isn't he?
Other Joe.
Yeah, other Joe. Yeah, he's on his on the video he did about Yakuza 0 when he's dancing, you know, with that like nappy on, pretending to be that guy who's dancing in the casino. I thought it was pretty good.
Oh yeah, that fucking guy.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, back to E3. A couple of things that I saw that I really like the look of. First one, obviously, this is one everyone's going to talk about, is Cyberpunk. That looks amazing. And Doom Eternal, because I'm a big fan of Doom, so I'll be looking out for that. If everyone just wanted to kind of go around the table and just say what they thought looked impressive, I don't know. Max, start with you.
I mean, I'm really excited for the stuff that I feel like is coming soon. I feel like we're probably, like, obviously we're getting Spider-Man pretty soon. Mm. I think we're probably going to get Gears of War 5 before too long. I think of the distant projects that really blew my mind, Ghosts of Tsushima. Man, that looked so much like Assassin's Creed, ancient Japan, but also the combat, even though we couldn't see button prompts, one of the developers said it's very Arkham style, so it's very like reactionary of like waiting for openings and striking. It just looks so crazy. I'm so hyped for that.
Mm. Yeah, it looked, did look quite impressive. I do listen to quite a few other gaming podcasts, for example, the Giant Bombcast, and mm-hmm. And they were talking about just how incredible the visuals looked, even just running on a PS4, a PS4 Pro. So mm-hmm. that's definitely one to keep an eye on, I think. Hmm. Cool. How about you, Adam?
Well, I actually wanted to comment on the fact that you were talking about Cyberpunk. Hmm. So I'm going to tell you guys a little story about E3 itself, because I don't think this would have got much coverage. So when you go to E3, there's like two giant halls, and each one has like big booths. The giant Nintendo booth, Xbox booth, PlayStation booth, whatever. So mm-hmm. Cyberpunk wasn't in there. Cyberpunk was like in the upstairs, you know, offsite section that's just for like business offices. Because I think that they didn't have much confidence in Cyberpunk. So it just had like this little tiny office, like a cubicle. But they had decked it out, and there was just a line out the door in that area, which is usually like a refugee area where you just go and like relax because it's colder and there's nobody around. Jammed with people all waiting to play Cyberpunk. So if that's any indicator, that game's going to be huge. So that was cool, and they had people like, you know, in cosplay and stuff, and it was a really awesome setup. And yes, you're right about the Ghosts game. That did actually look pretty surprising, because we hadn't heard about that, right? Like before,
We'd seen a 90-second like CG trailer of a guy walking out of a flaming like Gabota back in PlayStation Experience.
Oh, that's Experience,
it.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah, that game looked pretty awesome. But you know, and then a lot of the stuff that I was kind of excited about, I've actually played already. Like Rage 2, I got to play that for a while. Skull and Bones, Trials Rising, that might have been the game that stole E3 for me.
Oh, really? Well, motorbike game.
Yeah, exactly. You would never have expected it, nor would I. I sat there and I played it. That game was fucking awesome. It was like, it was kind of like Happy Wheels, because you could play with two people and you each can like control like half the bike. So as a result, it's just a lot of comedic failure. That was a blast. The Division 2 was a lot of fun. There was a lot of really cool stuff. The one I never got to play, which is very ironic, was Sonic Team Racing, or Team Sonic Racing. I want to play that.
Yeah, I mean, we will talk a little bit about what you've been doing with Sega and the different shows that you've been to with Sega in a little while.
I didn't mean to jump the gun. I was just talking.
No, not at all. No. It's fine. Whenever E3 comes up, I always have that image in my head of those big Dreamcast sort of signs, you know, that were at the front of the convention center with mm-hmm. like, you know, it's thinking and all that, and the big eye with the swirl. And all that. It's just kind of sad to see that, you know.
Hey, did you ever see the first video Adam Sessler ever did for G4 ever? You can look it up. It's really funny. Is he was sent to E3 specifically just to cover the Dreamcast, and he's standing in front of that giant sign like, "Hey guys, I'm the new host. My name is Adam Sessler. We're diving into Sega's new hardware." And it's like, "Oh my gosh, this is so old. That's awesome."
I'm gonna look for that. That sounds great. on the topic of shows about, you know, with Sega involved, the Japanese demo discs, you know, the partners discs, on one of them, I can't remember which one it is, there's a Tokyo Game Show special, and you can actually do like an interactive walk around the Tokyo Game Show.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I think it was the Dreamcast Express, right?
That's it. Yeah. That's the one. Yes, thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's so cool. And it's like interactive, and you go to different stalls, and like you can like look at little videos, and there's loads of pictures of random merchandise that I've personally never seen before or since. And it's just, yeah, fascinating. I wanted to do a video on it. I wanted to do an article on it on the Dreamcast Junkyard, but because it's a demo disc, it won't actually boot into a decent image that I can capture, you know, the HD cable or anything like that, because it's only black and white.
Doesn't support VGA mode.
That's it. That's what I was trying to get at. Yeah. So
yeah,
it's really blurry and just will not work.
Use RGB SCART.
Yeah, I could, but I don't have a capture device that will take SCART cable. So, unfortunately.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, okay. It's okay.
We got a flame meister?
I don't own anything like that, I'm afraid, fortunately. No, I'm a little bit behind the times and a little bit skint, so I can't really afford something like that. However, Mike, anything from E3 that you like the look of?
Yes, Forza Horizon 3.
Oh, yeah, set in the UK.
Four. I have played the other three, but there you go. Yeah, it looks amazing. I think probably you as well, Tom, and probably Kev. It looked really. Most games set in Britain are set in London.
Yeah.
And, you know, in all fairness, it's not really reflective of normal sort of small towns in England. And that game is the first game I've seen, apart from the game on the PS4 as well, that I can't remember what it's called now. The Happy Few, is it? The new one coming out?
Yeah.
That sort of had the same sort of feel. It's all sort of that proper sort of slightly countryside feel to a town. So that looks really good. That looks really impressive.
Dry stone walls and like distant church spires and all that kind of stuff. It looked really cool.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's great to drive around some sunny place, but you know, really what you want is you want to go in the middle of winter when it's freezing cold and there's some boy racers behind you. And that is the real true Britain.
Oh no, you'd see all like the empty beer cans in the hedgerows, yes. And all the potholed roads that you have to if you go over them, destroy your suspension. Yeah,
the rumble is going to be a nightmare on that over potholes. I'm telling you now, Jesus.
Hopefully there'll be a race where you have to drive a tractor and you have to stop every now and then to let all the traffic by that's swearing at you. That true British countryside feeling.
As a proud Bristolian, if there is not a tractor and the Wurzels playing in the background as I'm doing it, I'm not happy. The Americans have no idea what I'm talking about at this point.
Nope.
This is the most authentic British conversation I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, the idioms and everything.
What you got to do, you got to search on YouTube for a band called the Wurzels. That's W-U-R-Z-E-L-S.
Mm-hmm. He's Zed. He's going authentic.
Yeah. Where I'm from, they are sort of our sort of national band from where I'm from. That pretty much sums it up.
I saw the Wurzels live a few years ago.
I've seen them many times.
I don't doubt it.
Scary slightly, but I think Microsoft generally, the entire Microsoft show, I think blew most people away, didn't it? I think most people were surprised by Microsoft. I was following Max on Twitter actually quite a lot. Talking about it, and it was. I don't watch videos on YouTube that much, so most of mine were sort of seeing bits mentioned on Twitter, and I was quite surprised by the lineup of Microsoft. Pretty impressive.
I'd say Microsoft was my second favorite overall. So my biggest thing for E3 is I wanted to see extended gameplay demos. I wanted to see someone come out on stage and show us like 15-minute chunks of a game where we got an idea of what it was, and Sony delivered that. So Sony was my favorite, but just the smallest step below it was definitely Microsoft, just because it was just games. I loved that.
Where did Nintendo finish for you?
Nintendo just did their usual, like, you know, pre-recorded video thing, direct or whatever.
Yeah, it was basically a direct, wasn't it? They played on stage.
And it was mostly about Smash Brothers. That said, Nintendo's actually dropped like some actual surprises, or at least stuff we didn't know was in development, whereas like almost everything else from every single group was leaked. Am I correct about that? Walmart Canada did most of that. It's interesting. I mean, I was actually at the Xbox conference, so I got to say the vibe of that one, they put on a good show. I'm still not really sure who I think actually put on the best. Like you were saying, Sony brought the games, and that was awesome. But their actual like method of presenting it to people,
was
a nightmare. They were terrible at that. Microsoft put on a good show, but really it was just kind of perfume over the fact that they didn't really have that much to offer, other than like, hey, we got it. We've been screwing up. We're gonna work on it. It's pretty much the message of their show. And Nintendo just like did the usual weird thing that a lot of Japanese companies do, which is they just kind of they do their own thing. They stay in their little bubble, and they're annoying about how little information they let out there. But at the end of the day, they're the only ones who are good at keeping secrets. So pick your poison, I guess.
Yeah, totally. Okay, Kev, what about yourself? Anything that you saw that you like the look of?
Do you know what? This is going to sound like a bit of a plant answer, but I'm not the most into E3. Partly because of being a retro collector, I never ever really buy anything on release. So it's like, I'm a bit like, oh, I joked to Mike about this on Twitter. I don't know why people are moaning about these games all coming out in the same month, because most of them are going to buy us. Most of us will buy them year after release. Yeah. So yeah. it's one of those things. But game, something for me that shows the difficulty of how selfish gamers are, from like a professional stance, I can see how well the Xbox One was. But even as an Xbox fanboy, being selfish, I was like, oh, no Splinter Cell. Like,
yeah.
So just instant, you know, if they don't happen to have anything about your favorite series or one of your favorite games, it's hard just not to overreact and instantly start moaning.
Yeah, I nearly threw my toys out the pram when there was no mention of the Wave Race reboot that I was so hoping for, but never came. There was never a hint of this. I just kind of made it up in my head. I want Wave Race. I demand Wave Race. And if not, I'm going to go straight on Twitter and moan about it.
I was quite keen on... I remember seeing Starlink or whatever it was called last year. Do you know the Toys to Life type of space combat?
Yeah, I played it.
And so, yeah, seeing that it had Star Fox in it was quite... I was like really intrigued by that. To the extent it's one of the few games that I've gone away and looked at. What did it play like, Adam?
How do I put this? It was like a few years ago, somebody at Ubisoft said, hey, you know what's really big is this Disney Infinity Skylanders amiibo stuff. And you know what else people are looking forward to is No Man's Sky. What if, what if we put them together? That's kind of what it is. Unfortunately, the demo I got to play was very limited. It was like 20 minutes and it was just, you got a guy in your ear saying, now do this, do that. You don't really get, we didn't have enough time to like really explore and find out what it was, but it was kind of No Man's Sky with toys.
Right. I'm a big space combat fan, and I know that Tom shares this genre with me.
Oh, yeah.
I just want Freelancer on a console. That's all I want. I got Manticore Galaxy on Fire, and it's okay. Space combat's good. It looks nice. It runs great on the Switch, but it's not. It's just mission structure, mission after mission. I just want to fly around in space selling ore. That's really selfish, but it's just one of those things, isn't it?
Well, no, you
it's
like
it's okay to want good games, man.
Yeah, totally. Okay, cool. So that's a little bit about E3. Something we touched on earlier that I wanted to basically just have a little bit of a chat about is these new VGA to HDMI adapters that seem to be springing out, you know, left, right, and Chelsea. I know that Max, you've got one of the pound HD cables. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen a video go up on your channel yet. Is that one that's coming soon?
Yes. I just bought the pound Dreamcast one, and I was testing it, and I tweeted about it, and the people who make that got in contact, and they're about to send me like 15 more for like the PlayStation 2 to HDMI and Xbox to HDMI and PC Engine to HDMI. So I'm going to do a big video of all of them at once.
Oh, cool, nice.
I don't know how I feel about it. It's the image does not look at all, in my opinion, like VGA. It looks kind of weird.
Yeah, totally. If you've got a big screen like I have, obviously because there's no upscaler involved, you know, the aforementioned FrameMeister that Adam mentioned earlier, there's no upscaling, so it's a 480p image that's going from the VGA port on the Dreamcast, or rather the AV port in VGA mode, straight onto your TV, no upscaling. If you've got a 4K TV like mine, huge one, it looks like shit. On a small screen, on a very small kind of HDMI 22-inch monitor, looks really good, to be honest. But again, that's because the screen isn't being blown out of all proportion. I do like the fact that they are, you know, continuing to make these kind of devices for people who maybe don't have a CRT at home. And I think that's the main kind of person they're aiming this to.
Oh, yeah, definitely is. And the fact that it's so dirt cheap, it's definitely just made for like, oh, you want to plug it in and you don't want to buy another cable? Okay, just buy this $20 cable. Something that's really weird about it is it seems like the frequency that comes out of it is extremely low energy. I actually had to buy a special extra capture card that's really old, because if you plug it into an Elgato, it says, please plug in a console. It doesn't even see it. Like, so I actually had to... purchase an old Hop Hog box. That's why the other reason I haven't made a video yet is I had to buy like tons and tons of equipment to even record the gameplay.
Yeah, I think it might be that there are quite a few different capture cards on the market, modern capture cards, that will not recognize the resolution, 640 by 480. So
yeah.
I had an Elgato that wouldn't do it either with the Acura
Well, that was the weird thing is because I just got the Eon, like the same one that Adam Corlett got, the GameCube one.
I'm in the room with you.
Yeah.
I'm right here. You're talking about me like I'm not here.
No, but I'm just saying your full name. Just it's a habit of mine because I'm looking at your name on the screen. Yeah, like, oh my gosh, he's here. We're talking about him. No, but that same the HDMI. I saw your video on as well. The HDMI GameCube.
Yeah, yeah. The GCHD. Yeah,
the GCHD is completely recognizable, and it's just 480, but it's recognized by my capture card. Right. I'm not sure what's up with this pound stuff.
Interesting. Yeah, I haven't used any of the pound ones yet, although I've been told I'm being sent some review units, and I've always been kind of on the fence about it, because usually cables that supposedly do all that much awesome and are that cheap are really not that good.
Yeah.
Like those Tomy cables and stuff, like I'm not convinced until I try it, but they say we're going to send me some units. And then I started seeing, you know, like, Tom, actually, I read yours, and it was like, yeah, that's kind of what I expected. Compared to, like, the Gecko, it's just not going to be as good.
Mm.
So, yeah, but I'll try it.
Yeah, on the topic of the Gecko, that's the new one from Beha Bros, the guys who did the Akura's. It's effectively the same kind of device. It takes the VGA signal, puts it through a circuit board, and then spits it out through a HDMI cable on the other end. The difference with the Gecko is that it takes the same form factor as the Akura, and it adds a switch for switching between RGB and VGA, so you can boot a game that's not VGA compatible. And just after the beep, after the Dreamcast boots, you can flip the switch and it will put out a VGA signal, which is pretty cool, to be honest. But the thing that I've noticed recently is that the pound cable is actually only retailing for $29.99 on the pound website, but they've already started to go up on eBay for like over £100, which is just... It's pretty bad, to be honest.
Yeah,
They're dirt cheap in America. It's so weird that they could go for that much.
Yeah, they're worthless here.
That's insane. I mean, somebody put on the Dreamcast Junkyard Facebook group, where do I get one of these? And I was just sent a message back that go to the pound website, and they're like, well, they sold out. And then somebody else came back and went, oh, there's one on eBay, but it's £100. I was just like, no,
God dang, yeah.
Like, it's only been out one day.
Well, the problem is there's obviously high demand. People want to use Dreamcast with HDMI monitors, but a whole lot of people weren't really sold on the Beha Bros project because A, it was kind of expensive as a base price, and B, it has to ship out of Turkey and it's man-made. So they get incredible overhead problems. I actually talked to them about this. So, like, I did a video on it. They sent me the first prototype they ever made. Like, I have it. I got to do a video on it, like, way in advance. And they were not expecting anywhere near the kind of pre-order numbers that they got. So it's just two guys trying to build these things together. There's no factory, and they could not keep up with demand. I mean, just look at the pound ones, like how fast they sold out. So I could see why someone else who's like, hey, we'll just build cheap ones in a Chinese like factory somewhere to pump these out and just make tons and tons of cash. But that's why I'm really worried about it being any good, and I have not heard anybody, including the two of you, talk really all that positively about it.
No, I mean, I've got the two. I've got the pound and I've got the Gecko. The Gecko that I've been sent, again, is, as you said earlier, Adam, with the Akura that you've got, it's a pre-production one. I believe the PCB is going to be black on the retail version, but it's not going to be available until end of August 2018. And I think they're actually still trying to fulfill orders of the Akura.
Exactly.
So it's just like the demand is just through the roof.
That reminds me, it drove me crazy that Pure Solar, y'all remember their kerfuffle with Pure Solar?
Oh, yeah.
It started as a Genesis RPG made by Kickstarter, and it's super good, and they decided to release it later on Dreamcast. I pre-ordered mine on Dreamcast and the Genesis reprint in 2015. I got it for my birthday, May 2017. I was like, okay, damn. They were like, oh, yeah, we actually had to, like, build a factory in order to construct more units. And so I was like, God damn, what are y'all doing?
Dude, that's just the Dreamcast independent scene in a nutshell. It comes when it comes. Yeah. Like, there's games I think there's games I, like, reserved in high school I haven't received yet. You know what I mean? Like, what was that one that I think it was a failed Kickstarter? The one that you know what I'm talking about? It was a couple of years ago.
It's not Elysian Shadows. Line
of Fire.
I think that's what I'm talking about. Yes.
Which one?
Oh yeah.
Which one?
Elysian Shadows.
Oh yeah.
Is that still happening?
I believe so. Yeah, they keep updating the Facebook page with like new little demos and things, but.
I've been talking with them a while back too. It's just there's so many random games that like. Took what was like Stormwind took like 4 or 5 years to actually come out from the time it was announced.
Yeah.
So it's just get used to it, dude. Like, it's just Dreamcast games. It's like, oh, except for Josh Prod, that dude just releases games that he didn't even tell anybody he was working on. Yeah. So, there's five games I released today.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah. And there's a couple more that are coming out as well in a couple of months, which
exactly
look quite interesting. Yes. Guys, Mike and Kev, have you had any dealings or used any of these? Have you got an Akora, Mike?
Have I got a what, sorry?
An Akora.
No.
No, okay.
Right. I can barely turn TV on half the time. I'm not technically minded at all, and I've come to terms with that many years ago. I've got VGA cables, and that's enough for me.
Okay, not an RF cable then. that's truly hardcore.
Because I got quite a small room, and obviously I got like smaller TV sets, that LCDs, but small. I did think about getting a CRT, about set up using an RF cable, and I just realised how much I hated RF cables the entire time I had them. So. No, I haven't.
I've got about 20 RF cables. I don't know why. You know, the official Dreamcast one with the little box in the middle. Do you guys know what we're talking about?
What I'm thinking of, Tom, is that once the apocalypse happens, after the apocalypse, that those RF cables will become... Sega RF cables and Sega power adapters for any sort of European consoles will be in sort of currency. Yeah, and so you'll be able to trade them. Yeah, like bottle caps. I'm expecting it to be like that. So, because I've got thousands of the bloody things. And cool.
We'll be quids in then.
You're rich.
Yeah.
come after the apocalypse, I am going to be rich. I'm just going to say now that's what it's going to be like.
Well, fingers crossed it's sooner rather than later then. Anyway, on that slightly depressing note, let's move on.
Right,
guys, Adam and Max, you are obviously YouTubers. We all know and love your channels and the content that you create. Let's talk a little bit about YouTube and you know what you do. So, Max, one of the videos I watched of yours recently was a... I must say that I do enjoy your rant videos, probably more than any other kind of video that you do. Mm-hmm. And the one that you did about the Atari VCS kind of really kind of struck a chord, because it's almost like a retelling of the chameleon that happened a few years ago.
The chameleon. That's the one.
And this whole story about the register and the guy saying, oh... You know, why did you make up this interview and these answers? And then they posted the recordings. It's a fascinating turn of events that this project has gone from being so highly regarded and making all this money on Indiegogo to suddenly just becoming dragged through the mud.
Well, especially so, I got sent some stuff yesterday or day before yesterday that was actually internal documents that Atari has basically bragging to the other people who are pouring money into this about how much cash they're making. And it's so weird. They hardly mention the Atari VCS. It's like this 20-slide internal presentation that talks about Bitcoin and making, which they're going to call Atari coin. They're talking about making casinos, Atari casinos, like all this really weird stuff. It's like clearly the Atari VCS is literally a scam. Like, they actually say in the thing that the only reason they made the Kickstarter is so that they can have this physical console that cost them $0 to produce. So, like, yeah, people will just pay us up front, and if it's successful, then we make the console, and if it doesn't, well, then we just won't bother and we'll do these other 15 things. It's like, that's not how you should start with a console. That's a lot of work.
That is insane. And obviously there was the video that RGT85 did, where they kind of badmouth him and, you know, basically called him fake news, I believe was the term they used. That was a great video, and I loved your kind of follow-up video as well. It's a clusterfuck, isn't it? This Atari VCS thing. It really is.
It's so bad. And I mean, I'm really glad that that guy over at the Register did that follow-up video and released the audio of it, because listening to this guy, the COO, the chief operating officer, who according to his own website is the guy in charge of production, listening to this guy talk and not know anything about chips or USB ports and having this, their controller didn't even work. He literally put a controller in the interviewer's hand and it was a piece of plastic. The buttons didn't even push down. It's like, what the hell is this? Why are you giving me this?
Yeah, it's bad. Bad publicity has, you know, reached a sort of a critical point with that project. I think it does remind me quite a lot of the, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, Adam and Max, there's a thing in the UK that's going on at the moment about this console called the Spectrum Vega. Are you familiar with it?
No, I haven't even heard of that. No.
So basically, Spectrum.
A long story.
It's a very long story, but I'll try and condense it very, very, compact. Basically, it was an Indiegogo campaign for a handheld console that looks like a bit like a Vita, PS Vita, and it was called the Spectrum Vega, and it's basically a handheld Spectrum, Sinclair Spectrum, and it's going to have 1,000 games on it, and they made like, you know, £500,000, and this was due to be delivered in like September 2016. And it still hasn't been delivered. There's been no prototype. Indiegogo have actually served them papers telling them to refund people. And they've just gone completely quiet, gone dark. Yeah. If you go onto the internet and just search for ZX Spectrum Vega, you'll find the whole kind of saga. But it's really, really kind of bad.
That's so crazy. That's my biggest problem. Like, so much of Kickstarter, so much of crowdfunding is weird scams like that. Like, people who have a great idea but no business savvy. And so they go into it with all this passion, all this drive, and a genuine want to create this product. And they get a couple million dollars. They start doing it. They get a humongous studio, and they burn through that cash in 6 months. And they're like, oh, we're totally freaking boned now.
Yeah, yeah. It's bad. Yeah. It's bad. Just moving slightly away from that, Adam, with your channel recently, you've been doing a lot of stuff with Sega. I know you were at the was it the Sega Fez event in Japan?
Yeah, Sega Fez 2018.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, you've been kind of almost like an unofficial spokesperson, really, for the kind of like the Shenmue community.
Yeah, that's a good title for it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take my cut of the royalties when they start coming in.
Nice.
But yeah, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how, you know, the experience of being there with Sega and what you kind of did, really?
Yes. Keep in mind, I'm under NDA for a lot of stuff.
No, that's cool.
But
totally.
here's basically what I can tell you. They approached me, and I'd love to tell you the story about how they found me, but I can't.
Did somebody come down a cable and then smash through your bedroom window?
Close. So basically they sought me out and they were like looking to tell me, you know, like try to get me involved with the fact that they're re-releasing Shenmue, which is now not a secret. Mm. So, you know, we were just, you know, talking about how that would work and everything. And then they said, okay, we'll bring you out to Japan and we're going to do some videos together, which one of those videos will actually come out soon. They took this, I can talk about. We went out to Dabuita, which is where Shenmue 1 takes place, which was very funny because we went out there and they're like, yeah, we'll have a guide and we'll take you around and everything. And, you know, hopefully that we can make a cool video. And I was like, oh, dude, I've been there twice already. In fact, I was there a week ago at the time you were talking to me. And it was like, oh, well, this is weird. I'm like, yeah, no, don't worry about it. So we get on site. I end up being their tour guide because none of them had ever been there before. I'm like, yeah, that's where that is. Let's just do this. So it was, that was surreal. So that it was really awkward to be walking around with guys from Sega and being like, yeah, I got this. I can handle all the Sega history stuff. Then we went to Sega Fest itself. And they did the whole announcement thing. We filmed a bunch of stuff there. And they had this really cool, like, upstairs section full of, like, Sega history, which made me really, really nostalgic because they had, like, every iteration of, like, the Mega Drive or the Dreamcast set up because it was, like, the 20th and 30th anniversaries. And they were actually missing some, which was even crazier because I ended up finding some of those later. Like the Pioneer LCD, or sorry, the
Laser Active?
I actually own one of these. Yeah, I even own one of them. How sad is that? Well, the Laser Active, they couldn't find one for the event. Then I was like, I actually found one in Japan. Not that they cared. But yeah, so it's been really weird having a functional working relationship with them. Like, I have a call with them on Monday. And I know I can't say what, but I will be doing other things with them in the future. Mm. You know, they were very cooperative in this video I wanted to produce at E3. They had nothing to do with the video. I brought out Corey Marshall and Lisa Wilkerson to E3.
Yes, yes.
They both live in LA, so that was easy. yeah, it's like, you guys, I can't give you a hotel or a flight or anything. Are you willing to like drive over to a convention center? Like, that's the extent of what I could do for you. I was able to get them some free badges. And then we just went in and filmed a video, and Sega was just like, yeah, whatever, do your thing, I don't care. And so you'll see it. We're going to have this like cool Shenmue video coming up where, the premise of the video was that Corey was going as Ryo was going to go up to just people waiting in line to play Sonic Team Racing and other things and just be Ryo. He's just going to ask them questions like from the game, like, on that day, did you see a black car? And just see like what the hell people say. we finished it. That video should come out, I think, next week or the week after. But it's been very, very weird, man, to go from like, I wonder if anybody at Sega even knows remotely about my existence, to like, oh yeah, dude, do you mind retweeting this thing I'm posting right now? Yeah, Sega official account retweets it. You know, it's like, dude, that's so fucking weird.
Do you know what I would have loved to have seen is if, or in the video, if I could go back in time and make some suggestions, it would be for Corey Marshall to actually just go up to people and just like whisper in people's ear without actually announcing himself, you know, just quietly. Any of his phrases.
The thing is, I wanted to do more stuff like that. So, all right. So I had advertised in advance that, you know, this would be happening because I thought maybe like one or two Shenmue fans might show up. And mostly it was going to be just like random people hanging around the Sega booth. But we got swamped, man. There were so many people that wanted to meet them and meet me and just be part of this that we only got a couple people who absolutely had no idea what the hell was going on. But it still was just hysterical, and it was really, really cool. So many people bringing up Shenmue merch and stuff to sign. And this I can tell you, because this was funny. While we're filming this Shenmue video, this like just dude just comes up and he's just staring at me. It's like older guy, and then he's just staring at me for a while. And then after I'm done, he's like, "All right, why are you wearing a Shenmue shirt?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm filming a video for." He's like, "Oh, that fucking game." And I was like, "Okay." And he's like, "Yeah, I used to work at Sega when Shenmue was being made, and." What a terrible like piece of shit game. We were all like, oh, I can't believe we have to be involved in this. And this dude actually told me why the original campaign for Shenmue was so bad, because they didn't know what the hell the game was. And I was like, that's fascinating, because you go back and watch some of the original Shenmue ads. It's just like it's like weird ads about like Ryo possibly having a dream about Nozomi or something. Like, they didn't know what this game was at all. And now I know why. Because they didn't understand, right. And that's why they had such bad advertising for it. So it's really kind of weird to see this game finally finding its audience. Because I don't know if you've been following the pre-orders and stuff on Amazon. It's selling like insane.
Oh yeah.
Is there, you might not be able to answer this, Adam, but is Shenmue a game that's important to the people at Sega now, or is it just something that they realize the audience wants? Do you get what I mean with that?
I understand your question. I will tell you that certain divisions consider it more important than other divisions.
Right, yeah, because that's understandable, because obviously, like you said, that the guy who came up to you, that crazy guy, obviously doesn't work there anymore.
Oh, he doesn't work there anymore. That's why it doesn't matter.
So, yeah, but I imagine most of the people who were involved with it, who would be the people who had the drive to bring it back, who have probably moved on, haven't they?
There was one force in particular who works there, who very much wanted it to come back, but there was a lot of resistance. I probably shouldn't say this person's name, but this guy is an unsung hero.
When you were talking about the guy coming up to you saying how much he hated it, I almost asked if it was Bernie Stolar.
I would recognize Bernie Stolar. That guy I didn't recognize, but this dude was very out of the loop on the game. Like, he was talking about the first one, and then he said, you know, then he was Yu Suzuki sitting there pitching a meeting about, like, the character has to walk around with flowers or something. And we were just like, you can't make this. And he was under the impression that Shenmue 2 never came out.
What?
It was never a thing. Like, this dude was way, like, if he worked in the American office, I could see that, because, you know, it never came out on the Dreamcast here. So odds are he was gone by then. But that dude was out of the loop. But it was weird to basically tell him, like, no, man, this game, like, found its audience. And it's, like, kind of, you know, special to a lot of people now.
It's
been really surreal to be involved with this.
It feels like someone woke up from a coma and like, oh my God, I never beat Shenmue. What happened? Like, okay, sit down. So it's about to be a trilogy. And they're like, what?
Yeah, I did tell him that. And he was like, he didn't really seem to believe me that there was a third one coming either.
That guy was probably busy because he was there pitching his new Atari console. Probably in charge of that project.
I do jest, of course, about the guy being Bernie Stolar. Apparently, he will be listening to this episode. So if you are listening, Bernie, I apologize. That was just a joke. Cheers.
Hi, Bernie. I loved your work on the Dreamcast.
Cool. Okay, guys. We were going to take some questions from our Facebook group, but I think we might have to put the kibosh on that, just because I know that we're limited for time and some of us have to shoot off very shortly. I just wanted to thank you both really for taking the time to come on to the podcast and tell us a little bit about, you know, how it's going in your world and how the world of YouTube has, you know, moved on since the last time you were on the podcast, really. You guys obviously going from strength to strength. Obviously Max with your channel, you know, hitting 102,000 subscribers, and Adam yourself with over 100,000, and also getting involved with Sega. That's amazing, really. So power to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think we shall be leaving this one here at this point. Again, thanks very much, guys, for joining us. If you wanted to give any I'm sure everyone listening to this knows who you are, but if you wanted to give some plugs on your channels and, you know, where you can be found on social media, the floor is yours. Max?
Just youtube.com/dreamcastguy. I got a video coming up that's been heavily requested. I'm going to basically, I'm sort of taking a page from Adam's book. Adam's done this series where he basically looks at a console a year or 3 years afterward of like, this is what I think about it right now. So I'm going to do a big combo video about the Nintendo Switch, the Xbox One, and the PS4. That should be out next week. It's kind of a big, what do I think about those consoles right now? If somebody owned none of them, where you should you jump in kind of video. So that's coming up. I'm excited for that.
I have a request before we move on. Could you do the, you know, the intro to your videos? I just want to hear it live.
Oh, what the? What's up, gamers? Dreamcast Guy here talking today about the console wars and how you should totally stop doing that. I don't know.
Yes, that was it. That's what I wanted. Cool.
It's really funny. He and I have been borrowing from each other for years. Like, this is like the first thing he told me when we met each other down in San Antonio was like, oh, I've been trying to do what you do on live streams, but I just stay on, but I can't stay for as many hours. Didn't you try to do like a 24-hour stream?
Oh, yes.
I did that. That was my promise that I never thought that I'd get this big, but I always told people when I broke 100,000, I'd do a 24-hour stream. I lasted 17 hours before I started hallucinating chat, actually. I started seeing chat on my eyeballs, and I was like, okay, I'm into the stream.
My max was 7 hours, but that was just like Q&A straight up. I mean, you were playing video games, weren't you?
Yeah, so that definitely made it easier. And I was pulling fans in. I think I could not have lasted even 7 hours, but having other people to talk and fill air definitely made it easier.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I was saying, he and I borrowed from each other. And like originally, like he made videos before I did. And then you took like this big hiatus. But I remember actually like towards the beginning watching your videos, like most notably the house, the Typing of the Dead one.
Typing of the Dead, yep.
And I was just like, I got to do this. I need to make Dreamcast videos. So we've been kind of just... there's this pendulum thing between the two of us just going between each other's ideas and be like, yeah, well, I can do that one. Let's do that one. Yeah, I like that. Oh, so cool. It's cool to be here unified on this podcast together.
It is. Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah. So yeah, Adam, again, people no doubt know where they can find you, but if you'd like to give your channel a plug and your social media.
Yeah, all right. I guess I could do that. Yeah. So my name is Adam Koralik, AdamKoralik. You can find that on YouTube or Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It's the same. Just look my name up on anything. You'll find it.
Now, I wasn't asking.
Phone, hate me. You can find me there. Saying horrible things about myself. It's great.
Yeah, I just don't look at Reddit anymore because that's where I find most of the negative comments about myself.
Those are amazing. Like top YouTubers that I fucking hate, Adam Koralik.
Cringiest voices, Dreamcast guy.
Right? I love that shit. Like, as if that actually offends me. Like, ooh.
Max, didn't you have someone that said they hated your face?
Yeah, I've had people ask if I was in a house fire and my face got partially melted and am I getting chemotherapy and that's why my face looks messed up. It's like, okay, thanks, gentlemen, for the feedback. Goodbye.
Yeah, fucking hell.
I get a lot of, are you Alfred Molina, which is like he's the Doc Ock from Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, that's good.
There's this one football player that everybody says I look like. I don't remember his name because I don't care about football. I'm sorry, American Hand Egg.
Oh, right, yeah, I was going to say, is it proper
football? Yeah, I don't remember his name. Who cares? Anyway, so yeah, you get it. You just get a lot of weird feedback. Shave your beard, grow your beard longer, you know, get a fucking pair of scissors, which that one's probably true. I should do that. cool. But yeah, beyond that, I don't know.
Nice one. Okay, and Mike, where can you be found on social media?
Hiding. It's at space_turnip on Twitter.
Cool.
And populating the group on Facebook, the Dreamcast Junkyards group, which I don't know the address for.
Cool. And Kev?
I'm not, after hearing those stories, I'm not sure I want to be on social media anymore or want any more audience. So I'm gonna shout out my own YouTube channel because I'm not on Twitter at the minute, which is Big Mean Bunny UK because someone stole my name. I'm very bitter about.
Wow. Bit of drama.
End on a dark tone.
Yeah, wow. Anyway, you can find me... anyway, Kev, enough of your problems. You can find me on Twitter at Tom Leesey. You can find us as a collective at the DC Junkyard. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheDreamcastJunkyard and groups/TheDreamcastJunkyard. Also on YouTube, if you just type Dreamcast, then you'll get Dreamcast Guy first, but just underneath Dreamcast Guy, you'll see the Dreamcast Junkyard. So click on our channel. And yeah, that will do for this episode. Thank you once again for listening. Thank you to our special guests. It's been amazing chatting and reminiscing. And we'll see you in about 6 months on the next episode of the Dreamcast Junkyard Green Pod. Everybody say goodbye.
Bye. Are you ready? Here we go.
Please stop this disc now.